Good morning and welcome. I would call you to open your Bible to Isaiah chapter 40. In this message, Power You Can Depend On. In this series of mine, learning from the classics, some of my favorite Old Testament passages. Power You Can Depend On. Grace. What do you mean when you speak of it? Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 provides one definition of grace, one that I particularly like. Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, the Apostle Paul says, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. The Apostle Paul is saying that same power that raised Jesus from the dead works within us. Let's read our passage, Isaiah chapter 40, beginning with verse 28, down to verse 31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Notice the description of God that the prophet Isaiah provides for us. It's a threefold portrayal of His omnipresence, His omniscience, and His omnipotence. The everlasting God, the Lord, He's everywhere. His omnipresence. His understanding is unsearchable. He knows all. His omniscience. He's the Creator of the ends of the earth. He's all-powerful, omnipotent. Well, let's look at those for a moment. First, His omnipresence. He's everlasting. God is an awesome God. He had no beginning of days, and He has no end of life. He never changes. Hebrews chapter... In fact, He's not confined, first of all, to time and space. He created time and space. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's everlasting. His omnipresence. Second, His omnipotence. He's the Creator. God is an awesome God. Creator of all means that He's the owner of all, and He's the ruler of all. Absolute power over all. He is all sufficient, listen, with no decay in His power. There's no problem that's too big for Him. He can help His people when they're in their worst situations. He can save His church just as easily as He created the world. He's the Creator. He's everlasting. Third, His omniscience, understanding. And this one blows my mind. Our God is awesome, possessing all wisdom, and that wisdom is never, ever lacking. His understanding is unsearchable. The idea of it blew the Apostle Paul's mind too. He thought about it and it hurt his brain. Romans chapter 11 In verse 33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Just think about salvation. The salvation of man by God. He has wisdom to plan it and the power to accomplish it. Think about the task. God had a dilemma. Well, not really, but just for arguments, let's just say that He did. There was a tension between God's justice and His love. Man sinned, so man had to pay. And the sacrifice had to be perfect. Not just any man would be acceptable, but one without Adam's sin nature. Listen, when we don't know what to do, He does. Look at Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 down to verse 11. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Our God is all powerful, all present, and all knowing. And He is transcendent, yet immanent. He came Himself. Isaiah 57, verse 15. For thus says the High and Lofty One, who inhabits eternity, whose name is Holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with Him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. And all that was in verse 28. All of that was in that one first verse. Because He is Almighty God, our text, the remainder of it, reveals two realities. First, He can help the weak. Verse 29. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. God is able to give needed strength to all those without it. That's what Paul learned when he wanted to be healed. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. He prayed three times to be healed from whatever it was that God allowed to affect his life. He says, he prayed three times, and in verse 9 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul said, well, therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest on me. So, two realities. He can help the weak. And second, He will help the willing. Verses 30 and 31. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Listen, it requires a humble dependence. And why? Well, youth and young people, they think that they're stronger than they really are. Think about it. Remember back. We were invincible. We were indestructible. We thought that way. I remember my generation, the baby boomer generation. We can do it all. We will change the world. Now listen, now most of us have reached or are reaching Social Security and retirement age. What happens? It says they faint, they weary, they fall. But those who rely on God by faith, He will not fail. He will help the willing. Verse 31, my favorite verse in this passage in much of the Bible. Wait on the Lord. He has grace that's sufficient for your need. He has grace sufficient for your calling. You will run and walk in service to Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 down to verse 10. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, speaking of Jesus, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. There's a picture of growth in grace. Learning to depend and seeing the need to depend. It talks about flying and then running and then walking. The Apostle Paul, he demonstrated this in his life, and we can see it in his letters. In the beginning, Paul, man, he was flying, man. He was all that in the Middle East, in the Mediterranean area. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 5. He says, for I consider that I am not at all inferior to the most eminent apostles. Man, I can fly like all of them. I'm no less than any of them. He had a real good picture of himself. But then, years later, in his letter to the Ephesians, after he'd get knocked around a bit, persecuted, beaten up a little bit, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, he said, to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. See, Paul's now, you know, he was flying, but now he realizes that how much he needs the grace of God to be able to run this race. But then at the end, toward the end of his life, he wrote the letter to Timothy. In that first letter, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, he says, this is the faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You see, he was all that. Then he realized that he needed God's grace to minister. He was trying to fly. And then he learned to walk. Learned to run. And then he learned to walk. Realizing how much he needed it. Learn to live by grace, acknowledging your inability on your own. Paul ran. First he tried flying. And then he ran, realizing his need for God's grace to accomplish anything. And then he walked in God's grace. We all need to learn to live by grace. We need to acknowledge our inability to do it on our own. And that's what Paul came to in his life. And we're told by the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Would you pray with me? Father, thank you that you give us everything that we need. You offer and provide the grace that we need in order to live this life, in order to minister for you, in order to walk. And Father, I just pray that you would give us conviction to walk that way, to serve you in your power, in the grace that you give us. And Father, it's in the name of our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. And you have a great day.